You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. We're broadcasting today from the WPR studios in Milwaukee. Coming up, we'll meet a 15-year-old Milwaukee musician who just won a Rising Star Award from the Wisconsin area music industry.
First, we travel back in time to visit Milwaukee in the 1930s. A federal writers' project told the story of the neighborhoods and landmarks of Milwaukee in the midst of the Great Depression, the New Deal, and on the eve of World War II.
First commissioned in 1935, the guidebook painted a picture of daily life in Wisconsin's largest city, complete with suggested automobile tours of the area, but it was never published until this month.
John Bunker joins us now. He's professor emeritus of history at UW Parkside and editor of Milwaukee in the 1930s, a Federal Writers Project city guide. John, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you.
Well, John, can you tell us the story a little bit behind the city guide? How did it first get started?
Well, I had it all started with a very good friend of mine, Zane Miller, who was founder of the Urban History Association. He was trying to locate a bunch of city guides that apparently the Federal Writers Project had done, and many of them were published and some not. And among the ones that weren't published were Milwaukee. And then he contacted a friend of his, Stan Schultz, who's an emeritus professor at Madison, who checked out and found out that we had this manuscript in the archives at the State Historical Society. So that's what kind of got the ball rolling.
As a historian, how exciting is it to find this document that paints such a picture of life 70, 80 years ago?
Yeah, it really is. I mean, of course, from at my age, it's a little less remote than you might think. I mean, I was actually born in 1937, so I'm kind of at the tail end of the 1930s.
So as you explored this manuscript, can you tell us about the kinds of things that are in it, what you found out?
Pardon me?
Can you tell us about the kinds of things that are in this book? What kind of picture do we get?
I'm sorry, I didn't.
Oh, wondering if you could describe what's in the book.
Oh, what's in the book? I'm sorry. Yeah, well, it has several parts to it. The first part is the neighborhoods, which they identified three neighborhoods, beginning from the Celia Center down to Bayview. And so that there's a description of each one of those neighborhoods as it existed in the late 1930s. And then the other part is a simulated auto tour around Milwaukee, which starts at the Civic Center and goes to the north and south and west all the way to the city limits.
How had Prohibition, John, we're just coming out of Prohibition there in the mid-1930s. How had that changed Milwaukee?
Well, this was the era of the Great Depression, actually. Prohibition was over pretty much by this point, although there is some mention of it in the things that people... They see, people wrote these things as part of this Federal Writers Project, which was actually a project to give work and income to a lot of unemployed people during the depths of the Great Depression. And, you know, we think a lot about people who worked for the WPA and worked on roads and hot walls and things like that, but they also hired a whole bunch of people who were writers. And one of the things they did was to write guides for each of the states, and then they started doing it on the cities, but they never got finished with that because the war intervened, and that was the end of it. But
and John, who were some of the writers?
Well, as far as the ones who wrote, the people who wrote the Milwaukee volume, I really haven't been able to find out anything about the people who did the writing. I mean, they didn't leave any records. It's just the manuscript, and I checked many times. I couldn't find anything. So, they're kind of anonymous, I guess you'd have to say. Mm-hmm. They were probably newspaper men, teachers, people who were out of work and were able to do this in order to earn income.
What was the ethnic makeup of Milwaukee in the 1930s?
Pardon me?
What was the ethnic makeup of Milwaukee in the 1930s?
Well, I think just simply that, they were trying to do all the major cities in the country. They did produce ones for New York, Philadelphia, Washington, D.C., Atlanta, San Francisco, et cetera, and then some from some smaller towns, including Key West, Florida. So it just so happened that they made this available to the local governments, in this case the city council, and they decided that they would go ahead and sponsor this thing, and they they voted enough money to actually take care of hiring the people who were doing the writing and producing the volume and so on.
We're talking with John Bunker right now, Professor Emeritus of History at UW Parkside and editor of the book Milwaukee in the 1930s, a Federal Writers Project City Guide. And John, in this book, what was the biggest surprise to you about Milwaukee?
I think that the fact that probably that it never got published in the first place. I mean, one of the things that was going on in Milwaukee at this time was it was a very contentious period in the 1930s because of the Depression and also because there was a big political blow-up, which ended up with Mayor Dan Hoehn finally being losing an election after being in office for like 26 years. So it was a pretty unstable kind of a period. But, you know, Milwaukee wanted to be considered along with all the great cities, obviously.
How much would downtown Milwaukee look different to us now? How much has changed about downtown Milwaukee between the 1930s and today?
Well, yeah, I mean, for one thing, the size of the buildings, they had an ordinance in those days that you couldn't have building couldn't have more than 14 stories, I believe, or something like that. So that would certainly be one of the differences that you would notice immediately if you could project yourself back in time. And of course, it was really what urban historians call a walking city. I mean, we had some public transportation. Of course, by this time, most people had automobiles, but you could actually walk around the downtown area in about an hour. You could reach the city limits from any spot in the Civic Center, for example, out to either the north limits or the south limits or the west limits. Not the east limits, obviously, but because you'd be right in the middle of the lake. But it just gives you the feeling of being able to go right through and be there and drive through it and see what you can see and see what was there then and which things are still around and which things have been displaced or torn down.
And what about the lakefront, one of Milwaukee's most striking features? There's Lake Michigan sprawling right at its doorstep. What did that area look like compared to now?
Well, the lakefront, of course, was being developed at that particular point, the water treatment plant and some of those. And it's right, the 13 neighborhoods, the first one, is right smack downtown Milwaukee, right on the lakefront. And then they sort of branch out from there. For example, the farthest one on the south side would be Bayview, which was actually operating at that point. It had been a separate city at one point, but had been incorporated by then. And the other one was going up the what we would call today the Lakeshore Drive, I guess, and they had begun to open up all of those beaches for public use, and so that was certainly something that made Milwaukee very intriguing to a lot of people.
John, thank you so much for joining us and telling us about it today.
Okay, well, thank you so much.
That was John Bunker, Professor Emeritus of History at UW Parkside. He's the editor of the newly published Milwaukee in the 1930s, a Federal Writers Project City Guide.